We begin the current daven, Sechtes Gittin, daf Samachay. We begin 4 lines down from the time of the Yamid. But the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is there was a machlekes in the Gemara regarding the kinyonim, the acquisitions that a minor could do. That is, although biblical law really have to be an adult to create a kinyon, to sell something, buy something. However, according to rabbinic law, there are certain levels that are allowed rabbinically for a katan to be considered as if he had an acquisition. Now there's a machlekes regarding those levels. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabasi that there's 2 levels. If let's say you give to a child a rock and he throws it away, but a nut he takes, then it can be zeicha for himself. But there's a higher level, if you give him an object and he is aware to return it in an hour, then it could not only be zeicha for himself, it could even be zeicha for other people. But Shmuel said, no, they're both the same, these 2 different phases, which Rav Chisda had explained. What that means is that Shmuel holds that it doesn't make a difference and the child could always only be zeicha for himself and not be zeicha for others. Now the Gemara had asked a question and then answered, and the Gemara continues asking on Shmuel's opinion according to the interpretation of Rav Chisda that holds that this, that we allow rabbinically a katan to have a schia, to have an acquisition that's only for himself but not for others. So that's why Gemara continues and says, Master Rav Avia. Rav Avia asks on this interpretation from a Mishnah Meiser Sheni. The Mishnah there says, Marimin al Meiser Sheni. A person could use subterfuge. He could be a little crafty in regards to the redemption of his second tithe, which if he wants to be paid it, he wants to take it and transfer it onto money, there's halacha that he has to add a fifth to it. So says the Mishnah Mesechtas Meiser Sheni that there's a way to get out of giving that extra fifth when you redeem it, because the halacha actually is that it's only when you're redeeming your own ma'aser sheni and transferring to money, which then you take up to your shalim to then use the money over there instead of transporting all the produce, is only when you're redeeming your own. But a person does not add on a fifth when he redeems someone else's ma'aser sheni. So if he's purchasing from his friend, then he doesn't have to. So says the Mishnah, you can find a way to get out of the fifth. Ketzad, how so? Says the Mishnah, Eimer Adam Lebnoyu Bita Gedilim. A person can tell his adult son or daughter, or La'avdoi Veshevchas or Ivrim, or his male or female Jewish maidservants. Halachem Moisalalu, he says, look, take this money. So you're an adult, you're not me, you're somebody else. Upidu behen Meiser Sheni Zeh, and then go ahead and redeem from me. I have this Meiser Sheni. You know, I don't want to add a fifth, it's a major expense. So take the money, I'm giving you this money, and then you'll be paid it from me, so you're like other people redeeming it, but although it really is him, because these people, it's his 14-year-old daughter, and she eats from him, and these are his maidservants, so they're doing it for him, because it's going to go right back to him. He's just giving them the money to go through this procedure as if it's someone else, so he can thus avoid the fifth that you have to add on when you're redeeming. But it's going to go right back to him. So that's how the Mishnah says that you could be Marimin al Meiser Sheni. Now, that the Gemara asks, Rav Avia is asking, Hai Shefcha Hechadami. What's the case over there in that Mishnah when it says that one of the people you could do this with is with your maidservant? Ida Asi Bei Saris, if she already brought 2 pubic hairs and she's already over the age of 12. So my boy, what's she doing there? Why is she a Jewish maidservant? The halach is that she actually goes free when she has Bei Saris, when she becomes an adult. Elalav, so rather says Rav Avi, must be told, that she didn't bring Bei Saris. And even so, in other words, she's a minor, and yet she can be Zeichel Acherim, she can do this Zechia of the redemption of the Meiser Sheni for her boss, for her master. That's a minor being Mezakel Acherim. And you, Rav Chisda, in your interpretation of Shmuel, said that a minor cannot do that. So the Gemara answers, similarly how it had answered on the previous daf, on the first question, we're talking about the halacha of Meiser Sheni today's times, which the whole halacha of Meiser is only rabbinic. For rabbinics, as we answered regarding the halacha of Shetuvim Mavois, of Eiv Chatzeres, we're there, okay, we're going to allow a minor to be Zeichel Acherim because it's rabbinic law. But regarding biblical law, that we don't allow a katan, even on a rabbinic level, to create a kinyan. Now the Gemara asks on this answer, you're telling me that the halacha of this Mishnah was talking about in today's times, after the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the problem is, but the case conceptualization doesn't work out. Is there a Jewish maidservant in today's times? But Vatanya Lina Brai said that Ein Eved Ivri Noyig, the halachas of a Jewish maidservant or a Jewish slave, does not apply Ela Bezman Shal Yevel Noyig, only at a time when there's the halachas of Yevel. The reason for that is, as Rashi brings from Vayikra Chafei, it says Ve'ishal Mashpachta Teshuvu. At the Yebel year, then every slave goes back. Everyone that has this field, everything goes back to as it always was. So that's contingent on the halachas of Yebel interdependent with the halachas of Avdus. So we see that the halacha of Jewish slavery only applies when there's Yevel. Now, today's time is no more Yevel anymore. So how could you say that the case of Amma Avriya is Toma Maiser Bizman HaZeh Drabanan when they don't go together? Amma Avriya cannot be Bizman HaZeh when Maiser is only Drabanan. So al the Gemara says, but Atzitz She'enin Nakav Drabanan. Okay, it's a different rabbinic case. And again, that's why the minor maidservant could be Zeichel Achem for her master. Because we're talking about a pot that doesn't have a hole in the bottom. In other words, it's not getting its nourishment from the ground. It's getting from the straw that's inside the pot. Now, that has halachas of meiser only rabbinically, because it's not really part of the ground. So it's talking about that type of a case where she could be zeicha for her master, and that's why it's not difficult in Rav Chisda, because, yes, generally a minor can never be zeicha l'achem, but when it comes to rabbinic law, then, as we said, that you could be lenient, and then even the minor will be able to be zeicha l'achem. Now, returning to the discussion of the previous staff, again, which we had these machlekes regarding exactly the different levels of what is allowed for kinyanim, for the meriting for a minor. So Amar Rava, he says that actually gimel midos is actually three different levels of meriting that applies to a bekatan, that applies to a minor. So you have, first of all, the one that we mentioned in the previous staff, that everyone agrees to. It's tsror bezorker eggs of a night. If, let's say, you give the child a rock, he realizes it has no value, he throws it away. But you give him a nut, he takes it. So zeichel atzmoi, so he could acquire things for himself. Let's say someone gives him a gift, he would consider it, at least rabbinically, as if he has acquired it. But ve'in zeichel acherim, that's still not necessarily the intelligence enough to have the level of being zeichel things for other people. Where, let's say, someone tells him, here, merit this for that other person. Now, ukenegdon beketana, says Rava, that correlates in relative halachas when there's a minor, who, if she has that same level of the capacity of understanding the difference between a rock and a nut, she's already in the level of, she's able to safeguard her kedushin. So therefore, she's miskadesha. Such a girl could become engaged either by her mother or her brother with her consent, or by herself accepting, let's say she's an orphan, lemiyun. Now, what that means to say is that there's a rabbinic marriage called miyun. And that is, biblically, a girl either has to be an adult to accept kedushin, or she has to have her father in getting her engaged. But if, let's say, her father is dead, so how could she get married as a minor? And the rabbi saw it fit that she does get married. So her mother, her brother, they could go ahead and marry her off. Now, however, if she's at least the age of understanding the difference between a rock and a nut, when she does, let's say, want to leave that marriage, which she has the right to walk out, which is unlike any other marriage, she can do what's called miyun. She can refuse the marriage and just walk away before she becomes an adult. Now, what we're saying over here is that she needs to do what's this process called mian of refusal. But what that means to say is that she cannot just walk away without doing mian. Because actually the Mishnah says in Yevamos Kavzayim Mabez that if there's a girl that was married off, let's say, by her mother and her brother, and she doesn't even know how to safeguard her kedushin, let's say she got this ring and she doesn't know how to take care of it, then she actually doesn't even need mian. She could just walk away. Now, what we're saying over here is, but this girl who at least has this type of a level of intelligence, she knows how to safeguard her kedushin, so she would at least require miyun if she wants to walk away. So again, she could walk away, but she needs miyun. Again, in contrast to younger than that, doesn't even understand the difference between a rock and a nut, wouldn't even need miyun. Next level up is apu'utais, which is the young children, which, as we learned in Perek Nizak and the Daf Testament Aleph, which we said that not only do they have schia, but it's even on the commerce level, commercial, which is mekon mekach memkar memkir bimetatlin, that their purchases are valid purchases, their sales are valid sales. When it comes to movable items, which again, as we explained over there, is around the age of 6 and around the age of 8. Now, okenegdon b'ketana. Now, if you correlate this to a minor, when she reaches this same age, she's already considered that when you send her away from the house, she doesn't come back. Hence, that's a valid miscaresha. She gets divorced when she receives the gerushin herself, even if it was b'kedushei aviyah, even if it was that the way she had gotten engaged originally, she's a minor now, was a biblical marriage because her father had received the kedushin, which the Torah says that that's a valid kedushin in that Torah. Even if it's such a high level of kedushin, she could uproot that because she's able to have a valid biblical gerushin, which is v'shilcha mebeisai, that she goes and she doesn't come back. Once she's at the age of the children, which they're street smart enough that they know how to buy things and sell things, where, again, then their sales are valid. That's the same thing with a girl regarding of regarding marriage, which then she could already receive her gerushin. The next level up is higiyu lo'inas nedar, when they reach the age of making vows, which is 1 year before they become an adult, which for a girl it's 11 and a boy it's 12, nedrein neder begdeshin hektish. Then the nedarim that they make, and when they make something hektish, it's valid, at least if we inspect them, to see that they are aware of how to make an appropriate neder and hektish, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Nidah, Memheim Abeis, which a year before they become an adult, which is commonly called the term of Mufla Samach Le'ish, we check, do you know what a neder is? Do you know what hektish is? If it is, then their nedarim is neder and hektish is hektish. Now, so again, these are all talking about things of kinyonim regarding both boys and girls, but then ukeneg de beketana, the correlate of this age bracket by a minor, again regarding marriage, is choyletzes. In other words, if a girl is already 11 and she brought simanim, she has two pubic hairs, we don't say that that's what's called a shuma. Shuma just means to say it's not really what it seems to be, it's just some type of a growth. We say that no, it's actually a sign that she's an adult, because before the age of 11, then we say that she's a minor, and even if she has the simanim, they're not valid simanim, they're not symptoms of adulthood. And then she wouldn't have chalitza, because the Torah tells us that when it talks about chalitza, it says ish, which we compare, as the Gemara learns elsewhere in Yevama Samach Alpha Mabez, we compare the woman to the man, just like the man has to be an adult, so do the woman has to be an adult. So we're saying, but if she already reached the age of 11, and she has simanim, then she'll do chalitza. But under that, she's not even going to do chalitza if her husband dies without any children. Now, so those are the three different levels. Now, that the Gemara concludes, v'limker b'nechsi aviv, but for his son to sell his father's land properties, that's atshehei b'nesim. That's until he's 20, we will consider him a minor because he's not aware of the full capacity of being able to know the wherewithal of selling his father's land. For those purposes, as we find certain levels, there's ages of driving and drinking and different things. For that, the Gemara says that for selling off his father's land, we consider him a minor until age 20. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, is talking about shlich l'kabbalah, this that a woman has the rights to send an agent to receive the get from her husband. So the Mishnah says, "Ketana sha'amri iskabali git." If a minor tells her agent, "I want you to receive my get for me from my husband," so the halacha is, unlike any regular shlich l'kabbalah, "Ein get at she'gi get liyada." It's not going to be considered a get for her to be considered divorced until it reaches to her own hands. Fikach emrotza ba'al lachza. Therefore, if the husband wants to retract, meaning before the get reaches her hands, then yachza, then he can retract. What's the reason? Why is this different than any regular shlich l'kabbalah? She ain't cut no is a shliach, because a minor cannot make a shliach. She's a minor. She doesn't have the authority to create shliaches. Now, the person could go ahead and do what's called maisa koif ba'alma, could be just like a machine bringing it to you, but it's not considered a shliach, and therefore it's only when it reaches her hands, when then the fulfillment of anasa miyada happens. Now, however, v'im amaloy avia, but let's say she is a minor, but let's say it's her father who says to the shliach, tzei v'skaba lebiti gita, go ahead and receive from my daughter her get. Then, since the father is an adult and he could create shliches, and he is considered the yad for his own daughter's get, he could receive her gerushin. So when he creates the shliches, it's already a shlich l'kabbalah once it gets to the shlich's hands, and therefore the husband can't retract because it's already a divorce. Now, the Mishnah continues and says, let's say a man says makes a shlich l'ilach and he says, I want you to give this get to my wife in that place. And he gives it to her in a different place. Says the Mishnah Apostle, it's going to be invalid because he had what's called a hakpada. He was particular about it. And the husband could decide where and how he wants to do the terms of the gerushin. And he didn't want it to be in that other place because he didn't want people to talk about him. That place he's comfortable to give a get and he's not concerned what the people are going to say. So you give it in that other place, then it's going to be a pasul get. But let's say he says, harehi b'mah complaining. Oh, and you should just know she's in that place. He didn't say to give it in that place. He said, give this to my wife. Oh, and just so you know, she's in that place. So that's just like what's called a mar makom. He's just giving him the mile marker, telling him where she just happens to be, that you can find her. And therefore, in such a case, if a nasan la b'makom ach, and he gives it to her in a different place, then it's going to be kosher because he wasn't telling it to him in the way of being particular about it. He was just notifying him where she is. Therefore, even if he gives it in a different place, it's going to be kosher. Now, let's say regarding the woman. Let's say the woman says to her agent, I want you to receive my get from me in that place. the kibbul b'makom acher, and he receives it in a different place. So the Tanna Kamma, same thing. Pasul, it's going to be invalid because she is particular. I just want people talking in that place. I don't want them to know I'm divorced. I'm not comfortable. I only wanted you to be my shliach like a kibbul over there. You did over there. You weren't my shliach like a kibbul. It's invalid. Rabbi Loza machsher. Rabbi Loza disagrees. He holds he's going to be crushed. And the Gemara will explain the reason why. Why is it any different than the shliach leilacha of the husband? Now, however, everyone agrees. But if she says haveli giti mimakom plenia, again, not kibbuli, not to receive from me, but bring for me my get from that place, and veviyula mamakam acha, and he brings it to her from a different place, then it's going to be kosher because that has nothing to do with her. She didn't make him a shlich lekabbalah, and she can't make him into a shlich lelocha. She was just saying, I know my husband wants to go ahead and give it to me, so you go ahead and bring it from him, and just be his, let's say, shlich lelocha. So that's not her shlichus, that's not her decision, and therefore, even if he ends up doing it from somewhere else, it's going to be kosher, and it's a valid get when it reaches her hand. Now the Gemara asked the question that we alluded to, Rabbi Lazar, Maishna Reisha, what's the difference with the halacha the Reisha? When the husband says to the shliach, Ten get zeli ishti b'mokum pleni, and he gives it in a different place. We said it's pasul, u Maishna seifa de polig. Now, but why, so in the Reisha, Maishna Reisha, that the loy polig, that he doesn't disagree, u Maishna seifa de polig, and what's the difference in the case of the seifa, by the case of the woman, where he does disagree, and he says that it's going to be kosher, even though she said to receive it in a different place. So that the Gemara answers, Ihu, by the husband, dimidaitu megarish, that it's based on his consent, how he likes it. That's how the divorce is, because it depends on him. The divorce, the woman cannot divorce the man. The man decides the terms of the divorce. So you could say that kapit, that he was particular. And he said specifically, I want you to give it there and not there. So therefore, if you change the places, it's going to be invalid. But, says Rabbi Lazar, Ihi, but regarding the woman, the Baal Karcha Meskareshes, she doesn't get to decide the terms of divorce. It's even without her consent, even forcefully, he could coerce that her to her to receive the get. So therefore, how does she know where the husband's going to be willing to give the get? So therefore, obviously, even though she's saying, receive it from me over there, it's only Mara Malkam Hila. It's really just indicating the place for the harsh shliach to know where the husband is, but it can't be a particularity, because who are you to be particular? You don't even decide the terms. And therefore, says Rabbi Lazar, even if she's saying in the same terms that by the husband is considered a kapeda, by her we don't interpret it as a kapeda, and rather just a mile marker, and that's why, even if he receives it from a different place, it's going to be kosher. Again, which obviously the Rabbanan disagree, and they hold that it's the same thing as by the husband, because she was particular, even if she doesn't get to decide the terms, but she gets to decide who she's making a shlich lekabbalah and how. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, where if, let's say, the woman tells a shliach, havi ligiti, not his kabbal, those are the two terms we always have to keep in mind, his kabbal means be a shlich lekabbalah. The moment it gets into his hand, she's divorced, besides, let's say, by a minor. Havi ligiti is like, no, don't be my shlich lekabbalah. Go to my husband and be his shlich leilocha, bring it from him to me, and when it comes to me, then I'll be divorced. So if a woman tells the shliach, bring from me my get, if she's a wife of a kohen, she could continue eating truma until the get reaches her hands, because she's not divorced yet when it's by the shliach. Now, but if she says hiskabali giti, receive my get from me, then asur lacha b'truma miyad. Then she's forbidden to eat truma right away, because he might have. We don't know when it got into his hands. He's not texting there. We don't know that. Oh, now you have to stop. So right away, you don't know. Maybe he got it. Then you can't eat truma anymore. Now, let's say she says, "Skabali giti b'makom pleni." I want you to receive my get in that place. Then achilas b'truma. Then she could continue eating truma. Achigia get lo isa makom until the get reaches that place. Because essentially, that's what she's telling him. She's saying, "I don't want you to be my shlich lekabbalah only over there." So therefore, until the amount of time it takes to get there, for sure, she's not going to be considered divorced yet, and she could continue eating truma. Now the Gemara is going to ask, but why would it even be a kosher get in that situation? Because since he possibly received the get in some other place, even when he's going to get there, you said in the previous Mishnah, according to Tanna Kamma, that that's pasul, because he has to receive it only in that place. So why is the Mishnah making it sound like that, oh, she could continue eating truma until the shliach reaches that place, meaning that he maybe got it somewhere else and they got there, but that's not a valid get in the first place, because he could only be he could only accept the gerushin in that place itself. Now, Rabbi Lazar, Eitzim Miyad. However, Rabbi Lazar says that no, she's forbidden right away in Truma, not only when the shliach gets there with the get, from the moment that he leaves from the woman, And again, Rabbi Elazar is going according to the opinion from the previous Mishnah that he said that it's kosher even if the Shliach LeKabbalah receives it in a different place, because it's just a Mara Makam. She was just indicating the place where she thinks her husband is, but from the moment that he receives it, she's going to be considered divorced. And therefore, since the moment that he leaves her, she's considered divorced, so therefore she's going to be Usher in Truma, because maybe the moment that he left the city, he met the husband and he received it and she's already divorced. Now the Gemara asked the question that we just mentioned. Vigita miyahav. It sounds like from the Tanakama's opinion that, okay, she could continue eating truma, even though the shliach got the get, until he gets to that place. Now the question is, but vigita miyahav, is that going to really be considered get when he reaches over there with the get to that place? But va'amid reisha, you said in the first half of this Mishnah, meaning in the previous Mishnah, lo have a get, does not even get in the first place, because I'm only letting you receive it in that place, according to Tanakama, that's possible. So the Gemara says, lo yitzricha. No. The case is Toma, the Amrle, she tells him, Hiskabali gita b'masa machasi. She says, yes, like we're saying in the Mishnah, receive a get from me in that place, which she says, masa machasi, which is the name of a city. Now, but then she adds on the words, oh, v'zim nende mishkachas le b'bavl. And sometimes you'll find him in Bavel. Now, since she added on that line, obviously she's not particular if he receives the get from the husband in a different place. Now, but then why did she specify, oh, receive from me my get in that place, meaning, let's say, Masa Mechasya? V'hachi kamalei. This is what she was really telling him. That not to be, I don't want you to be my shlich l'kabbalah, that I should be divorced through your receipt of the get until you reach over there. In other words, as the Gemara explains, Mishkal, regarding taking it from the husband, kol hechad mishkachas le'shakli minei. Yeah, you could take it from him wherever you want to take it from him. If he's in Masam Chassi, fine. If he's in Bavel, fine. You could take from him also. But what she was adding on, as we continue on Tamid Beis, but Gitu Lehav, I don't want it to be considered a get, that you should work in the capacity of a shlich like a bowl, that your hands are my hands, at the Matzis L'Masam Chassi, until reach Masam Chassi, and that she could create the terms of who's considered an extension of her to be considered a Nasam Yada, and that's why it's not going to take effect until then, and that's why she could eat Truma until he gets to Masam Chassi. But it's not a problem about being a get, because although he's receiving it somewhere else, it's obvious from the words that she's using that she's not particular about that part of it, and that's why it will be a valid get, even though he received it from the husband in a different place. Now, but as we quoted from the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar Oseh Miyad, he disagrees, says, no, she's forbidden right away to eat truma. Now, the Gemara actually asks, Pshita, so obvious, the Hamar Makim Hiloi, she's just indicating the, like, where you could find him. But we already quoted Rabbi Elazar in the previous Mishnah that said that a woman, since it doesn't depend on her, the terms of the divorce, so she, when she's establishing where the shliach should accept it for her, it's not a particularity, it's just indicating the place. So the Gemara is asking, why did Rabbi Elazar have to say this? We know this. It's obvious from his opinion in the previous Mishnah that he would hold this way. So the Gemara says, lo yitzricha, no. It was necessary to say Rabbi Elazar's opinion in this Mishnah, to say that she's forbidden right away in Truma, because the Amrle, it's talking about a specific case, where she tells the Shliach, zil le'mizrach te'isa be'mizrach, go to the east, because he's in the east. Now, v'ka'azel, but what the Shliach ended up doing, he actually ended up going lo'marv, he's not listening to her, he went to the west. Ma'av de tema, we would have thought to say that even Rabbi Elazar would agree that in this case she would not be forbidden right away. Why? Because b'mayrav halasa, he's not in the west to be concerned that maybe on his way there he encountered a husband right when he left the city, and therefore maybe she's already divorced and maybe she's forbidden the truma, because he's not in the west. She told him he's in the east. So if he's going to the west, you could continue eating truma. Kamash Malan, that's the chiddush of Rabbi Elazar in this Mishnah, that Dilma Bahadu Dikazal, maybe when he was going out of the city, Megiz Goyis Bay, maybe he did encounter the husband, but Yav Lagita maybe gave him the get. So although she was almost positive he's in the east, and this guy went to the west, maybe when he was going, maybe the husband was leaving the east when this guy was going to the west, and he encountered him, and that's why Rabbi Elazar is being mechadish something, even though it's obvious from Lashit Tasa that he holds that right away, wherever the shliach receives it, she's going to be divorced, and therefore forbidden the truma, but you would think maybe this situation not to be concerned, that is the chiddush. Now the Gemara introduces the following halacha that will relate to this machlekes in our Mishnah. It says, Ha'omer l'shluchei, if someone tells to his agent, Arav li b'tamar, I want you to make an eiv tchumen for me, which halacha is a person who could walk out of his limits, whether it be his house or his city limits, only 2,000 amos on Shabbos. But if someone makes an eiv tchumen, which is 2,000 amos from, within 2,000 amos from this, his limits, then you can go another 2,000 amos on Shabbos. So let's say he tells his shliach, make an Erev, which is putting down two meals worth in that place, which is within 2,000 Amos, which that for Shabbos will be considered your Shabbos residence. He tells his shliach, you know, make an Erev for me with dates at the end of 2,000 Amos. But Ve'ir Lebegregris, he actually ended up doing it not like the guy told him. He did it with dried figs, not with dates. Or let's say the case is he told him to do it Begregris with dried figs, Ve'ir Lebetamarim, and he made the Erev with dates. So says the Gemara, Tani Chada Eruv Erev. We have one brace that says that in such a case it will be a valid Erev. But Tan Yidach in Eruv Erev. We have another brace that says it's not going to be an Erev. So Amar Rabba Loi Kash. Rabba says it's not a difficulty how we have these contradictory brices. Because Har Rabban and Har Balazar. The Machlekes in our Mishnah of Rabban and Balazar is the Machlekes that we have in these two brices. And that is the brice that says it's not an Erev is the Rabbanan. And the brice that says it is an Erev is Rabba Lazar, as the Gemara explains. Har Rabbanan de Amri. This is going like the Rabbanim. The Braisa holds is that it's not an Erev. It's like the Rabbanim that we mentioned in our Mishnah that said that when it comes to the woman, let's say when she's making her shlich likabalah, even though, as Rabbi Lazar's taina was correct, it really the Gerushin does not depend on her, and seemingly what she's saying should not be, there shouldn't be any particularity, but still we say, kepeda, meaning whatever person tells to their shliach, if the shliach deviates, then you're not my shliach. Because, yes, although I don't get to decide the terms where my husband's going to give you the gerushin, because it all depends on him, but I told you receive it over there, and you didn't receive it over there, you received it somewhere else, it's not a valid gerushin, you're not my shlich likabala. So therefore, here too, the Erev, he told him to do it with dates, and he did it with dried figs, you deviated from the shlichus, so that's not going to be a valid Erev. And ha, Rabbi Laza, but the other brisa says that it is an Erev, is going like Rabbi Laza. The amamar makam hilai. Where he says that when it's something that it's no part, that there's no kepeda really, and it doesn't bother a person because it's not the significant factor that defines it, so you're giving a clue, you're helping out the shliach, saying, oh, you know, you can find them over there, but of course you can wherever you receive it. Here also he's saying, make an error for me. So you might not know what to make an error. Oh, make it with dates. You make it with dried figs. Oh, okay, it's all good. It's not a big deal. So therefore, it's going to be an Erev. Seemingly, that's how Rabbi answers the contradiction of the prices. One's Rabban and one's Rabbi Laza. Rav Yisvam, he gives a different answer. He says, no, actually, Havahar Rabbanan. Actually, both prices are going like the Rabbanan's opinion in our Mishnah. And because they both agree, both of these prices hold, that we're not going to say generally, if you just deviate from what the Meshaleach had told you, that that's considered a kepeda, a particularity. That's only by the case of the woman, because over there, it's embarrassing for her, where she doesn't want those people, that's from her hometown, that's where her school friends are, she doesn't want them to know that she's getting divorced. So maybe over there, they would agree to the Rabbanan that, okay, there's a kepeda. But generally, actually, if there's a deviation, actually, they would agree that that would not be a problem. So how do we explain these two brises if they both agree to the Rabban's opinion? Khan, the first brise is Toma Bishaloi, when both the dates and the dried figs are his own. It's from his own stash. So there it's going to be an Erev, as we explained, because they really hold like the Rabbanan, where yes, over there there's a Hakpada by the case of the woman, but generally, even the Rabbanan would agree that the person's not particular if you change a certain detail that's not such a significant factor of the Shlichas. So when it's my dates and dried figs, it's okay. It's going to be an Erev even though you switch it. But Khan, the Brice that says it's not going to be an Erev is because it's Toma B'shel Chaveiroi. When it's his friends, in other words, his friend gave him permission to use some of his dried fruits, to go ahead and make an Erev. But he told him, take the dates. He says, I let you, you know, you when you need something to make an Erev for, I got some dates. Now, so this is, he tells his agent, okay, make an Erev for me with that person's dates. Now this guy goes and he takes that person's dried figs. We're there for sure he's going to have hakpada on the shliach because his friend never gave him permission to use the dried figs, only gave him permission with the dates. That's why that brisa says it's not going to be a valid Erev because there they will be hakpada. But generally, even the Rabbanan would agree and both brises could be going like the Rabbanan that there's not going to be hakpada when you just switch a minor detail of the shliachs. Now that the Gemara asks, Amalei Abaye, but Abaye asks on Rav Yosef's in interpretation. But ve'alohad etanya. But then this that we learned in the brisa that says oimel lishluchay erev li b'migdal. If he tells his agent, I want you to make an erev for me in a tower. Now the assumption of the Gemara right now of Abaye's question is that to put the erev in that tower, which is at the end of 2,000 amos, put it in. That's where the erev should be. the Erev Loi B'Shoivach, but he ended up putting the Erev not in the tower, he put in the Dovkat, in a different place where the birds go. Or B'Shoivach V'Erev Loi B'Migdal, or the other way around, where he told him to put in the Dovkat, and he put it in the tower. The Tanya Chad, where there we have one Brice that says, Eruv Erev, that it is Erev. B'Tanya Yidach, in Eruv Erev. Another Brice says, not an Erev. So, according to Rabbah, we could understand the resolution of these two Brice in the same way. One's Rabban and one's Rabbalazar. One is like Rabban holds, you change even one minor detail, it's not good. So changing from a migdal to a shevach would be a problem. And the other one's going like Rabbalazar holds that you're not particular. But according to your interpretation, hasa maisha loy bishel chaveira ikar, what is the, like, in other words, you resolve the other brice regarding the dates and the dried figs, where, oh, one's told about where it's his own, and one's told about that it's his friend's. But here, it wouldn't pertain to say that, oh, the brice that says that it's not going to be a good in Erev is because it's Toma, it's his friend's Dovkat and his friend's tower, where, oh, then the friend is particular, but why would it bother his friend where you put the Erev? He lets you put it in his places. So you put it in my tower, put it in my Dovkat, doesn't make a difference. Taking his fruits, maybe I only let you take from the date, not from the dried figs. But here, what would it pertain, Hakpada, if it's the way you're interpreting the resolutions, that if it's his, it depends if it's his or it's his friend's? So the Gemara says, no, Hasan Nami there also. It's not Tomat, as we had assumed, that where you're putting the Erev in, but rather, Iker Peiri de Migdal or Peiri de Shavach. It's Tomat when it's his friend's a tower and Dovkat that has fruits inside them. So in other words, when it said that he told him to make the Erev B'Migdal, it didn't mean to put it into the tower. He rather was telling him, I want you to make an Erev for me from the fruits that's in the tower that my friend has, and he ended up taking the fruits that his friend has in the Dovkat, then it's particular because my friend didn't let me take from there, that there would be Akpada, and that's what the Braisa means. Again, we could say that both are like the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan are only makbid in our Mishnah when the woman makes a Shlich LeKabbalah in a certain place, because there it's embarrassing, but again, under general circumstances, it won't be, but again, that's when it's his own stuff, but when it's his friend's, where then there would be Akpada, that's why the Erev is not going to be a valid Erev. Nothing more continues. Continue on these themes of shlichus when the husband makes a shliach, appoints people to go out and write a get for his wife and to deliver it to her. So the Mishnah says, Ha'imer kisvu get v'tenu le'ishti. Someone says to people, write a get and give it to my wife. So as Rashi points out, and this is the significant factor of the halachas of this Mishnah, that when a person says something, there could be disputes regarding definition. So we go many times regarding what people usually use in their common parlance, in the conventional definitions, what it comes to mean. So the common usage of the word get, although as we pointed out previously, the word get can mean shtar too, it can mean just a word for a document, but generally what's called in the Torah is sefer krisis, which is what we always use in the word get for a woman, people call that a get. So therefore, as we'll see in the Mishnah, if someone says write a get for my wife and give it to her, it really can mean write just a document, which could be any type of document. But since when people say get, they mean get isha, so that's going to be considered something that they'll write a get. Or, let's say it says gershua. Now, there also, people generally call divorce gerishin. Although the word gerish could just mean chase away, it can mean many different things. But in common usage, that's what it means. Or let's say he says kisvu igeris v'tnula. Write a letter for my wife and give it to her. That also is a terminology of get, because actually in the get is written these words, Vidan di havilachimina, and this what should be for you from me, a sefer tiruchin the igerish shvukin, a book of banishment and a letter of abandonment. So we see that the get, even in the get itself, it writes and it calls it an igeris. So when he writes, says, write the igeris, write the letter and give it to her, it's a reference to a get. So therefore, regarding these different terms, the Mishnah says, Hare elu yichtivu v'yitnu, so they will write and give her a get. Now, however, says the Mishnah, let's say he says, patrua, release her. Now, there he hasn't said anything in regards to creating these people to write a get, because maybe when he says patrua, it could mean from the word of pater, in contrast to cheva, which is exempt her, meaning alleviate some of her debts or obligations that she has. Maybe that's what he means when he says patrua. Or let's say he says parnasua, which generally the term parnasa, which people translate as sustenance, is a term of taking care of her needs. Now we don't know, what does he mean when he says take care of her needs? Does it mean her needs to be divorced as having a get? And why is that needs that she shouldn't have to come on to Yibum when this husband dies without any children? Or is it other needs like clothing and garments? We don't know. Or let's say he says, Aslo kenimus. Do to her as the statute is, as the obligations are. We don't know. What obligation? Obligation of get? Or obligations of sustenance and of clothing? So to Aslo kero, let's say he says, do to her as it's appropriate. What does that mean? So therefore the Mishnah says, regarding these things, lo emaklum, he hasn't said anything. It's not considered as if he has created an agency of writing a get. So to the Gemara brings Tarnabon, we learn the Braisa. Let's say the husband says, shalchua, send her away. Now that's the term of the pasuk that says, v'shilcha mibesa, that he sends her out of her house, as it says in Dvarim Chavtal, regards to a get, that's the terminology that he's using. So he's specifying a get terminology. Let's say he says, shavkua, that abandon her. Well, that's also, as we said before, it says in the get itself, igeris shvuken, a letter of abandonment. Well, let's say he says, tarchua, where that's also actually the terminology that's used in a get, and the terminology of teruchin means gerishin. So hare elu yichdu v'biyitnu. So if he says any of these types of terminologies to these agents, then they know what their job is, if they're writing, give her a get. But as we mentioned in the Mishnah, let's say it says patrua or panasua or asla kinimus or asla karo, lamaklum, as we already explained, because they don't specifically mean to write a get, and we don't know, so we can't write that. Now, however, Tanya Lidna Brai said that actually Reb Nosson, I mean, he says, patrua, and we'll see that the nuances here are important. If he says patrua, then devarv kayamin, then his words are valid. In other words, then it will be translated as a get piturin, as a way of releasing her away. Now the reason for this is because, as the Gemara will shortly explain in greater detail, as the word patrua is in the command form, patrua, send her away. It's like shalchua, as the Gemara had brought that case, where that's a term of get piturin because it's dogish. Patrua is the stress on the test. There's a dogish there. So then it's going to be valid as a valid shlichus for writing a get. But if he says petruha, which if that's in the form of a command, that's actually what's called rafa. There's no dogish. The test does not have that stress. Like when someone says shilchu mekem, as the pasuk says in the Bereishis Mem Beis, or shimu molachim. So to petrua, lo yamaklum. In this context, he hasn't said anything because it actually can mean a term of pater and chayva, of being exempt, not as a way of sending away. Because actually, if it was a term of gerishin, of sending her away, then it should have been a dogish of patrua, not pitrua. That's what Reb Nosson holds. Now, our Mishnah didn't make any differentiation between patrua and pitrua. It said even patrua is also going to be not valid. So Amar Rava, he explains why. Says Reb Nosson de Bavlo, who Reb Nosson that we just quoted, who's a Babylonian. In other words, he comes from Bavel, as the Gemara says in Baba Basra, that someone said, oh, I had the audacity by Nosson HaBavli. He was called Nosson the Babylonian. So Reb Nosson, who is from Bavel, Dayik Bein Petrua LePatrua. For him, the nuance is, actually, there's a difference between Petrua and Patrua. Now, the reason being, because in Bavel, not only do they speak Lashon HaKodesh, they also spoke Aramaic, Lashon Arami, the Lashon that the Gemara is written in. Sometimes Arami, sometimes Ivri, sometimes Hebrew. Now therefore, when the person says Patrua, so then he means to say a get piturin, a get of release. Because here, he's being madgish, he's creating a dogish on Patrua, in his command that he wants it to be a gerishin. And that means to say that he's talking in Aramaic then. Now, but when he says Pitrua, that means to say he's speaking Hebrew, because petrua in the command is a Hebrew word, which that word actually means pater and chayva, which means to be exempt. And that's why it's not valid in creating a gerishin. Now, but Tana didan, but says Rava, but our Tana, the Mishnah, the Bar Eretz Yisrael, who you know, the Gemara is written in Bavel, and the Mishnah is Rebuda Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, that's from someone who's in Eretz Yisrael, where they speak in Hebrew, loidayik. He doesn't differentiate between patrua and pitrua, because in any situation it does not mean a get piturin, because piturin to that terminology which in the command form when you say patrua means sending away is in the Aramaic. So in the Aramaic, if you stress patrua and not pitrua, so that's going to mean, oh, we know you're talking Aramaic now, which in Aramaic, yes, then piturin means sending away. But in Hebrew, then that term of patrua pitrua doesn't make a difference. You're saying that means pater, not chayva, and therefore it doesn't mean of the term of sending away, of releasing, because that's actually an Aramaic word, and that would only have relevance, as Reb Nosson HaBavli had said, in Babylon, then there's a difference that patrua is going to be a term of gerishin, but in Eretz Yisrael there is no difference, and that's why our Tana didn't differentiate, and in all kiss situations, it's going to be loya maklum. Now, Ibai Lewi, the following question regarding the following terms. Are they terms of gerishin, or are they not necessarily indicative, and that's why they're loya maklum? So let's say Haitzi Uhu Mahu. Let's say he tells the people, he says, take her out. So the question is he borrowing from the terminology of the Pasuk that says by Gerishin the Yatsa Mibesa that she leaves his house, and therefore it is a term of Gerishin? Or maybe it's not actually the terminology of the Pasuk, because the Pasuk doesn't say Vahitzi Uhu Mibesa and that he takes her out of his house. It just says V'yatsa Mibesa. She goes out of the house by herself. So using it saying take her out is not really a term of the Pasuk, because the Pasuk doesn't talk about him sending her out. It says about her going out. Let's say azvu amau. The Gemara asks, what's it if, let's say, to use the terms of leave her, of abandon her? In other words, is that a term of gerishin, because that's really what it says of a gerish shivukin, which is a terminology of the letter of abandonment, and that's what aziva means in the Hebrew? Or maybe do we say that no, since it doesn't use the term of aziva in the get itself, it's not a terminology of get. So though yes, it means the same thing, one's the Hebrew and one's in the Aramaic, but still that's not the term in the get, and maybe it's not necessarily now a term, maybe it just he says, okay, leave her alone, it means something else. Let's say hituru amahu. Let's say he says, permit her. What does that mean? Is that of like haret muteris l'chaladim, which is a terminology written in the get that you're permitted to every single man, and therefore it's a terminology of gerishin? Or maybe it's like a terminology of hataras nadarm, that is permitting her vows, or just releasing her belt. That also hataras chagura, what does it mean? Is it a term of gerishin or not? Or let's say hanichu amahu, let's say it says leave her alone, or ha'ilu lamahu, let's say it says help her out, or asula kadas, or do for her as is the law. Mahu, what's the halacha? Do they refer to the terms of kedas gerishin, or is it not? Does it mean something else? So the Gemara says, we don't have answers to the questions, but pashut miyachad, but one of them we could resolve. The time, like we learned the Braisa, which it says it explicitly, when he says asula kedas, which is the case that we just mentioned, or asula kinimus, or do it her as is the custom, or asula karo, do it her as it's appropriate, lo maklumi hasn't said anything. Again, it's not indicative of a term of gerishin, and therefore it's not a valid shlichus of gerishin. Now the Gemara continues with the next mission, again continuing on this theme about when the husband authorizes people to be the shlichim, to write it, to sign it, to then deliver it, the get to his wife. Now, Bereshayna Hayu'aymim, originally they said that there's one exception to this, and that is Hayyotze B'Koyler. If someone's going out in chains because he's being executed by the government, Vamani says, Kisbu get le'ishti, write a get for my wife. So the exception was, although he didn't say, and give it to my wife, he just said, write it, the halacha was, hare'elu yichtabu v'yitnu, that they write it, and they also give it to her. Because it's only because of the great fear that he has, that he's so preoccupied, that he's going to be executed now, so he wasn't able to specify, but we know when he says, write it, he's not just like, oh, write it in case I need it, he's going to die in a second. He says, quickly write it and give it to her, because I want her to be divorced before I die, for let's say case situations of Yibum. So then they write it and they give it. Now, Chazru Lema then later added on to say that there are more exceptions to this. Afam Afarish, also someone that's going overseas, meaning he's taking a ship on the high seas. Or Vayitz B'Shiryar, or someone that's going in caravan into the desert. It's the same thing. He's very preoccupied. It's a very dangerous voyage and expeditions. So they were also, even though he said only write, he meant write and give it. Now, Rav Shimon Shezuri, I meant Afam Asukin. He adds on, also someone that's ill, that's deathly ill, that's the same type of a situation where, although he only said write it, he's obviously in a situation where he's thinking his end is near, he means write it and give it, and therefore the halacha will be in that situation too, will be hare elu yichtibu biyidnu.